Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Controversial subjects with the facts can be tense, but we are a sub-science here to make things make sense.
Today we're talking about heat waves, how there's been a seemingly crazy rise in the amount of extreme weather events that we're witnessing and seeing on the internet, what that means, why it's happening, what we should do about it, should we be scared or not. We're talking about heat. It's hot, y'all.
I said a heat wave
burning my heart. Is that the song you're singing?
Yeah, like I was trying to get to the song that's about heat waves because I know there is one, but I don't. What is it?
That's like I think it's in Sister Act, so that's why I know it. Can't keep from crying. I feel like it's in the background while they have like a cleaning montage where they're like
Sister Act one or two.
I think one.
Wow. Heat wave.
Well, but now I'm like, no, I might just like have it in my head from American Idol or something.
But like, okay, there's obviously a song about heat waves, but there should be a new song about heat waves by someone cool like Rosalia. And it should be.
Well, like, I think Lord tried that.
Oh, no, that was solar power.
Yeah, I see. They all need to like
combine
their powers. It's like Avatar, fire, air.
Yes.
And it's like one of them can take on heat.
Yeah, but it should be like a metaphor for like, I don't know, like how sexy hot times can also be really bad, or like something like a dark song about like a heat wave, because everyone wants a heat wave in the winter. We're from Canada. They want it to be hot. Then now when the hot comes, it's like, oh, okay, no, we're all dying. Like there's like, you make a song about it and you're Lord or you're Rosalia.
The amount of art and ideas that come out of this podcast.
I know, we're just giving
just
away
like
for free.
A gold mine.
I hope you're listening, Rosalia.
Speaking of heat, I know we kind of gave this away last week, but we're recording this ahead of time. About to go on an amazing 2-week off grid. I'm so excited. This is the very last thing we're doing, and then we're escaping this godforsaken city into the country.
Yeah.
Onto a lake. No internet. No data. Just peace.
You get no data. You get no data.
Are you excited?
Imagine I wasn't. No.
Well, like,
I'm so excited.
Okay, because you have kind of talked about when you have, like, and I'm sure we've talked about this on the pod, but like, I love free time. I love to be at ease. And we've talked about how you have, like, when you have lots of space, like, you kind of get existential sometimes.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not expecting to, like,
Spiral.
But like in a good, in a cool way. I'm gonna read books.
So
I still
funny.
Keep myself occupied. I mean, like, do you want to play ping pong again? Do you want to go snorkeling and look at seaweed? Like, these are all fun
snorkeling.
Things I want to do.
I guess like there are goggles. Little snorkels. It's like,
do you want to go kayaking?
You're giving people the wrong impression, though. It's truly just like sand and mud. Like, it's not like we're near coral.
No, but it's still cool to look in a lake. You just don't like lakes because you're scared.
Yeah, actually, that's something I've been thinking about. So I've been trying to overcome my fear of cold. Like, we were talking about cold showers the other episode and how it really affects my body. So I've started to view myself, even through like working out more, as like a stronger person for the first time in my life, and realizing that a lot of it's like kind of that idea of grit. Like, I feel like I've learned a little more now to push through pain. Like, I was so afraid to push myself working out before, and now I'm like a little more comfortable in pain. And so I've been trying to translate that idea to like getting in cold water and being like, sometimes it is mental. Like, of course pain is real, but once you practice experiencing certain kinds of stress, you can overcome them, which is what you've talked about even with like the cold showers.
Oh, that's cool. Because yeah, like, because you can't do like, you can't have, like, for example, I'd be like, just jump in, and then we'd get in a fight.
Yeah,
like,
because I realized over time with the gym that it helps to practice that. And going too far out of your comfort zone or discomfort zone is, like, too fast. But if I, with the gym, it's been like incremental, and now I'm lifting weights that in the beginning I would be A, really afraid to touch, and B, was like, I would never push myself to failure, especially if I was alone. But now I'm like, no, I feel comfortable like knowing that's safe, knowing there's a safe way to do it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all this to say, I'm trying to experiment this with cold water, but the one thing that I don't know how to get over is I'm actually afraid of lakes and water. I'm afraid of water. So I'm not actually, I like to swim, but I realize like
same
when
thing.
I get
to,
in the water,
think about it like,
but it's been all these years of me, like I go in and I just, but if I'm alone, I won't go in the water. Like I'm scared.
Yeah.
I'm actually like afraid of like something grabbing my foot.
I know. I used to be like that. I feel like I had to do the same thing with all the cold showers, the jumping in cold, like with that. I was also afraid of lakes, super afraid of
but
lakes.
But like, how old are you?
Like
probably like seven.
No, I mean, I think
I'm like, I'm 34. Like it is weird that I'm like afraid that something's gonna bite me when I've been in lakes like for decades now. Nothing's ever touched me, nothing's ever hurt me, and I'm like afraid that a shark, which doesn't even exist in a lake,
shark.
No, there's just this like weird mental image of like something attacking me.
Yeah, no, I think I felt that you're like probably like it went away when I was like 17 to 19, but I still was like an adult enough that I remember, and I think I have had more exposure, so that's part of it. But I also think it is the same concept,
right? You have to practice more in that space and realize like,
and just go swimming and being like, wait, okay, like what is actually below me? It's like, oh, there's seaweed, there's really gorgeous nature and fish that are like, I should only be so lucky, are still existing in this gorgeous freshwater lake. Like
I think I've like been like when I was younger, I was bit by a crab, and it like I think that
that's the ocean.
No, I know the ocean. I know that's the ocean, but I think it translated into this idea of like there are things that can, even though it only like snapped me and cut my finger, it wasn't like a major, but it just scared me so much.
But like my point is more like it is a mental game for me. It's like, it's about loving nature. It's about appreciating your surroundings and realizing that, like, not ever looking at nature in a fearful way, because mm-hmm. it's such a beautiful thing.
I know.
That's like, that's, people, that's I just, how I just,
my brain, oh, you're right. My brain, but like, if I was swimming, and remember that one time we saw a snake, or I saw it, and it was huge, just swimming in the water, and I was on the dock, and I was like, if I had been in the water swimming and saw a snake, I actually might have a heart attack.
But again, it's like,
I know that, it probably won't do anything, and but it's so scary.
But that's the thing, you're still like under the assumption snake equals scary. My point is, I've had to train myself to be like, that's actually so cool to see a snake. Like a snake in nature, not in a zoo, in its natural habitat, is like a gift. Like that's how I had to change my perspective, because I was also obviously scared of a lake, because it's like water. But anyways, I'm saying it again, I can't tell you to do this. You have to do this on your own. But it's not like I just have always thought lakes were not scary. Do you know what I mean? I was fully scared of them, for sure.
Yeah, I assume lots of people are. But when we were at like a cottage with some friends the other weekend, I just realized in that moment, I'm having this fear and other people aren't. Like
I was the only one really stepping in the.
True. Like maybe people don't articulate it, but when I go in the water after the cold is over, I'm like screaming the whole time. I'm like, the seaweed touched me. Like, and I'm actually like, my heart is racing.
Yeah, that's true. Other people were
and just people are
swimming.
Just like wading out in the water. Yeah. I'm like, aren't you scared? Like I'm here to cool off and get in and like stop smelling because I'm sweating.
Yeah, they were more like, oh, it sucks that the ground is a little gross, but they were never scared.
I was like, I cannot touch the muddy ground. It like scares me. I do not want my foot to touch that. And like I was like kicking frantically so I wouldn't like.
Well, anyway. You should think about it like literally like heat waves. You're so lucky to live in a part of the world where there's all these like freshwater, cool lakes. Mm-hmm. Like we're so lucky. Like maybe try and think of it like that. Like it's so hot in the world, you get to jump into this thing. That is such a
gift. No, I that's why I went in. But
well, we'll see.
Well, I mean,
you're gonna try, I guess, and work on that this
trip. Yeah, that's gonna be my little cottage oasis getaway this time. I'll see if I get over it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm gonna be staring.
No, that's too much pressure. Don't. Okay, never mind. No pressure. It's just like maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, let's get to what we learned this week.
Oh, what did we learn this week?
Actually, but I did it.
Oh, you pressed the button.
Damn. Yeah, and like. But you're right, you did lead it. You signaled we should do it. Thank you.
Okay, you go first. Boom.
Oh my God, you're just like an absolute leader today. Okay, so this is related to heat waves, or at least, you know, climate change. So a new, brand new research analysis came out found that the number one threat to food security in the next 20 years is increased demand for water.
So there you go. Not to go back to the lake, but you're jumping into fresh water.
Yeah, true.
It's and a literal gift.
Food security issue was closely followed by heat waves and then droughts, income inequality, and political instability.
So, and like, what heat waves and lack of water, they're linked.
It's all linked, and it all impacts food security. Like, as the heat changes, as our access to water, like, obviously people in places that don't have access to water, that impacts our food security. But that was just saying, like, that's going to be the number one issue in the next 20 years. I didn't know this, but global hunger levels in 2021 surpassed the previous record in 2020.
I mean, I'm so curious. You think that's pandemic energy?
I'm sure it's intertwined, but like, I actually don't know if that's...
Well, either way, it's
because or population and growth awful. And these things, yeah.
And it's like, everyone's always like, humans are progressing. It's like, with climate change, it's really scary because it's like, there's a huge chance that we might not. Mm. One of the books that I got for the cottage is like The Next Apocalypse, and it was all about how, it's all about how in the past, when a civilization like falls, just that feeling of like we pinpointed as like a comet hits, like it's like this fast
like
thing.
Like a moment.
Yeah. And it's like, all about how no, they're actually like really slow, progressive things that usually rely on like people with privilege and in power picking up and leaving as opposed to like trying to work together. Like,
right.
That's the thesis of the book from the blurb. I'll read it and then we'll definitely have a podcast about it. But I was like, that's super interesting. And it reminds me of now. It's like, we truly are in this situation where we need to band together. We need to like figure out bureaucracy and like social, essentially like socialist ideals to try and come together to figure these things out. Mm. But we continually are watching like rich people like Elon Musk, the pastiest mofo I've ever seen on a yacht, being like, I'm going to do this random stupid tunnel when we're like, we just need light rail trans and like, and like,
even like, I saw a lot of people like, talking about like Kylie Jenner, like picking which jet she wants to ride today when I'm like having to be like, am I going to have a metal straw?
Yeah. And it's like, we still are obsessed with Kylie. Like we are,
there's celebrities.
Still a lot of like broken and like, we're all part of it.
Yeah. People who are saying that are often also still like super engaged with that system, including us.
Yeah, like it's annoying that I like kind of know what Kylie Jenner looks like every 2 weeks. Like it's like why I don't even care about them, but they're like, and it's like that's everyone's fault, including my own. But I just feel like maybe more stats like that, like things actually like world hunger getting worse. It's like people need to start realizing that.
And realizing that, like, just because it's not happening to you doesn't mean the implications, even billionaires will feel these implications. Like, yes, these billionaires can escape and fly in private jet away from these heat waves.
And, like,
but when these
New Zealand.
Heat waves start impacting, like, food chains and start impacting just, like, how the world functions when, like, millions or billions of people are impacted by, like, food insecurity and the whole economy will flip on themselves, you know? And, like, that what they value so much, this money, will become a very different scenario. Yes, they might still be safe and secure, but they'll be living in a world that's like, why do you want to live in that world?
Well, The Ministry for the Future, a great book everyone should read about the future, like the near future, but also it's really based in science. What ends up happening as a plot point is like eco-terrorists like bomb Davos and then also so many eco-terrorists are, this is obviously so extreme, but it's like flight becomes less of just like a thing we all get to do because people actually start again creating violence within people
like
flying,
targeting
targeting them, and it's like
so when they're afraid to fly.
Yeah, this is obviously so hyperbolic and it's based in like a far enough future, but a lot of the book is based around heat waves. When people start dying en masse from something like a heat wave, which is, as we'll get to it, so directly linked to climate change, there are going to be drastic things that happen. And in this case, like there's this story of these billionaires, these like quote unquote influencers, and their lives are hell because they're getting dragged through the mud, like the kind of the way we are with Elon Musk now. Like I know he can't not realize like so many interesting, smart people think he's a joke.
Yeah.
But also his life, like just flying to Mykonos to go on a yacht.
It's just not so gonna be as easy. Weird. They're not trying even harder to like look good. You know, like even if they were like faking
Wait, what?
It. I'm just
Oh, to be like, on a yacht.
Yeah, or even just in their general life to be like, oh my gosh, here are all the other ways I'm trying to change the show and lead by example. And yes, some of them I guess kind of do, but I just feel like they're all so annoying. And it's like, don't you want people to like look at you and kind of at least like you? Like I know some people are obsessed. Do, right? Yeah.
Like I think that's the thing. We don't necessarily get
but
the
there's gotta be
the people
so many
do.
I guess when you have that much attention, no matter what, you're getting hate and love and you probably can't discern between which is legitimate.
They probably think, oh, the people who
I'm always
are
gonna be
haters.
Hated, like regardless of what I do.
Yeah. That's I think a big part of it. Like
but you
even
just think about legacy. You think they'd be like, no, this matters and I wanna at least do as much as I can. Like you
but
have
that's
billions.
What he, that's what he's doing.
I like, guess
that's
his mind thing. He thinks he is.
Go listen to our Elon Musk episode because we were arguing then on different things. Like you were thinking more of what I think at the time people still think, which is like Grimes's whole thing. I love Grimes. Like I always think about Grimes because I love her so much and I love her music and I'm like, how the hell did you do this and like create a baby with him? But she's saying like at least he's not sitting around and trying to do nothing about this situation. So when he's a billionaire and he's probably around all these other billionaires who are clearly like fossil fuel lobbyists or like truly
like
just trying to make money off of
like
Uber. Like
his money's coming from something that could change the world
yes,
for the
and
better.
They don't believe in the government. Like they think that if we just sit around and wait for bureaucracy,
it won't happen.
And so then they think of their privatized concepts of it as the way to go. But I'm saying, I personally think in the last 7 to 8 years, we have seen so much damage from that thinking and it's infiltrating and ruining the ability for governments to function. Mm-hmm. So it's like, they're not necessarily wrong by being like the American government is flawed and messed and maybe getting worse and going to be harder to make change. That's not a lie. But I think part of the reason why it's not working is because these private interests are ruining it. So it's like, I think that if he just cherry picks his own moral values, he can sit
Live
back
in
and be
his
like
own bubble of, of feeling justified in what he's doing.
And I think that's what he's
doing.
Then
that is actually no, this is really morbid and probably related more to the episode than this part of the like just think
funny. Mine's about heat waves too, man. What did we learn this week?
Like
that's all I'm thinking about.
Okay, well we'll just talk about it all the whole time. I was just gonna say like the scary sad thing is there are already so many people suffering from food insecurity and extreme heat and water and accessibility and these things all over the world. And we as people in this kind of like quote unquote Western world who have like relatively comfortable lives don't think about it that much. And it is kind of this game of like until it happens to you, you don't think about it. And it makes me realize in a sad, morbid way, like billionaires won't think about it until it is the very end, until it's too late.
Yeah.
Like they will just be the last people impacted. Because I'm like, well, they've got to realize at some point. But then there's lots of people, even in our shoes, like we only have to think about it sometimes. But there are people who live every day of their lives experiencing.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's super morbid. But that's why I'm like those targeted attacks in that book as plot points is really fascinating because they're still public.
Kind of like,
they're public entities and people that we all watch. And as things get worse and as their lives don't get affected or they become more of the issue while simultaneously being photographed on yachts, even celebrities, I'm like, it's just, it's all gonna shift in our lifetime. I think, I hope, like, influencer culture kind of took me down a peg where I'm like, wow, we're now obsessed with like truly people who don't even like act in movies who just like are hot. And like, it's just like weird that it's like, oh, wait, I guess we are like truly golden retriever, simple brained that we're just like hot, hot, hot. Like, there's so many things at play, but I do think there will be a time where being a celebrity will be really hard to not be shamed just from the mere aspect of like being thinking that showing your aspiring life is interesting. I think it still is interesting for some reason, but it's going to change. I think.
Okay.
But I see it with like Lorde and like Billie Eilish and going back to these people. I'm like, they're not like, they're definitely on private jets, but they're like trying to hide it.
There's an illusion.
Which is like maybe not necessarily better. But I'm like, or I'm actually curious, are they taking light rail trans across Europe? I don't
better,
know.
Better, at least in one way, but maybe not act. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd rather them not glorify it.
Yeah.
If they are, that is one thing, is not great. But it, like, if you're Lorde, you can't just like go on a charter plane. Like, you can't just go on a regular schedule
plane. So the thing about Lorde is I'm like, Can you?
Oh, maybe she can, but I just mean like Billie Eilish, I don't think can like walk onto an American Airlines flight and not cause a scene and have to like wait where everyone else is waiting.
Well, it's super interesting. Not like now it's like heat waves, climate change, celebrity, but like Lorde, like at her concert, there was like merch, but then there was like this booth and it was like an organization from Toronto, how you can help with climate change in the city. So clearly she's putting on these shows, and the point of her like platform is that there's somewhere there were people who were like, you can volunteer with us, you can sign up with us. And I know Billie Eilish is like that too. So they're obviously like, okay, this is the huge issue of their time as Gen Z people, because again, Lorde is so young. They know that. And I do think that as a celebrity, you could lie to yourself and be like, I'm going to cause a scene on this first class flight. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, there's also just like a level of like, that's not that big a deal. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like,
and yeah, and if you are booking first class, it is like you have a lounge you can go to.
You might have to take selfies with seven people, but we're talking about the impact.
End of the day, it is like a capitalistic endeavor. And like whether it's, you know, Lorde or Billie Eilish, and I know we're just only using two young
Harry Styles.
Okay. Like, whether it's Harry Styles or his management, that's like, well, if we have a private jet, we can get you around way faster. We can do more shows. You don't have to wait in airports, like, because they can make more money or save more money that way. That's probably also what it comes down to for their teams. But that is just the question of, like,
And it all goes back to the same issue and idea, like these heat waves in many ways are being caused just by like greed point blank in all humans. And a lot of people are like, how could you ever turn down the opportunity to make more money and perform more places? Mm-hmm. And they're also celebrities. Like, we are talking about them and highlighting them more than like someone who works for Google, who we all know are high up at Google and are still private jetting around the world. And like, no one's calling them out because they're not famous.
Right.
But like, there's something about this decision you need to make at a certain point, which is like, is my time on earth like worth being spent doing all these like quote unquote amazing things at the sacrifice of earth? Mm-hmm. I think that's a hard decision. Like, we deal with that all the time too. Like, we have a really like amazing opportunities life, come opportunities, and you think, why would I pass this up? And then all of a sudden passing it up feels more sad because the opportunity's there.
Yeah. And you want to like live your life. Yeah. No, it definitely is. It's so hard. That's why it's hard for any individual to take on responsibility, because in your own way you're not individually responsible. And like, I don't know,
but there's something about like, there is a, for me at least, as someone who's interested in pop culture, a huge link to climate change and celebrity culture, because it is hard to like, yeah, like not take a straw or not go on like a normal flight to another country for fun when you like are watching Rosalia fly to for 4 hours to be at a Paris fashion show. Mm-hmm. And you're like interested in that. It's like, you know what I mean? You're always aware of these people doing these things that are so quote unquote amazing, like these opportunities.
Yeah.
But then, so obviously the opportunity when it comes your way, you're like, well, it's not as bad as that.
Right.
And then everyone's like, I just think there's so much more like,
it's easy to always look at someone else. Yeah. Like, I'm not doing the worst thing.
And they're obviously posting about it on Instagram because that's their life. And they're probably like, this is so interesting. I'm like at this insane fashion show in the desert or whatever. Like, it's just weird how these things all mix to create this like huge issue that I hope we can figure out. Okay, let me get into one of the solutions that I have.
Talking about heat waves already?
Kind of, because mine's about heat waves.
So then should we just like go like take it?
No, because it's what we've done this week.
Okay, I mean like, yeah. Okay.
No, it's fine. It's it's about clothing designed to keep you cool or hot in a heat wave. So like, they're talking about it now because everyone in Europe's in heat waves. Yeah. And so usually like they have astronaut clothing and they have athleisure wear that is designed to keep you cool, but it requires a power source. So it's like, they're like kind of
plugged in.
Well, for astronauts, this is the case with batteries. And then there's also this idea of athleisure that like these companies have been making, but they all involve like solar panels or like some cases you like plug your shirt in. And so this one is made of super thin strips of metal and plastic that when they're warm, they bend. So like when you are a certain temperature, it bends the metal that it lifts the whole shirt off of you, that you can now have heat escape from you.
Whoa.
And then when it's cold, the metal essentially goes like back to its original form, hugs your body and keeps you warm.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's super ugly.
Are these on the market?
No, they're like trying to figure out.
Well, here we are buying more things.
Well, I know. So there's like parts of this that are interesting because I'm like, it's fashion. It's these things that like we were just talking about, fashion show, celebrity. Like there is something mm-hmm. here that's like, and even ugly. I'm like, that's not fair for me to say. It's all subjective. And to be honest, like whenever I see fashion now, I'm like, this, we're in an ugly stage, I feel. But it's like, they said that it can keep a person's comfort level like baseline in external temperatures of 2 degrees higher and 2 degrees lower than like what people would normally think.
Yeah.
And then their pitch is that if people wore this in their house, they wouldn't have to warm or cool their houses by those 4 degrees.
It would help you adapt in a larger range, so you don't have to use as much energy to...
It's totally like out there and like not necessarily
question like how legit it is, but I can maybe like, you know, where you're just like, is this a gimmick, is this am I gonna wear this and be like, I don't feel any different.
Well, it's interesting because it's like a response obviously to these constant heat waves that we're gonna have, people trying to think of different ideas. Mm-hmm. But I think it more just stuck out to me because it was like, I think about the Green New Deal and light rail transit and all these things that I'm like, those matter. And then I'm like, but there's also these other things that who knows in our lifetime will be like, oh, that's the thing.
But there's the argument for like, instead of buying something new, just like take a shirt off or put a sweater on. Like there's other ways to be hotter and colder that don't require you to turn up or turn down your heat, you know? Like obviously that maybe if you're out and about, it is like a clever invention.
Or it's like, do these strips of metal get input into like in our future world into all of our clothes?
Right. That's just like,
that's just like
part of the fabric.
It's part of like how it lifts and
it's
settles.
Definitely cool. It's definitely interesting.
It's like Dune vibes.
It is so hard because we're in this position now where like every invention is cool, but we have to like think about what is the implication of just consuming and making more production. Things. Which ones are worth making because they'll actually help us? Like, because we obviously need to make things that will help us survive any extreme weather conditions. And which ones are just like actually inflaming the problem more?
Yeah. One thing I can't stop thinking about is like, sorry, I obviously can stop thinking about this. It's a stupid thought. But ever since I've just like committed to shopping secondhand, I feel like my fashion's gotten so much better. And I'm like, why is there not like the celebrity that every red carpet is just like, this is secondhand. Yeah. Like it feels like an easy way to stand. Like, you know, the Met Gala, it's like, no, this wasn't made. This is, I literally went with my stylist to these secondhand stores in these cities.
Right.
And we pulled together like, this cool look. Pieces. Like Shawn Mendes's was like, this is all recycled material, but it looked like so chic and it was like made clearly by like 17 people, like it's not relatable.
Well, this is the problem with fashion. It's like if it's secondhand, it's like out of fashion. Mm-hmm. Like,
but everything's cyclical. It's all back,
that's true
now.
But everyone, you know what I mean, like the fashion 90s. Industry wants to be like, what are you wearing that's new? Like what it like, and so at least when they're recycling materials, they can make it in a way that feels new. And I guess the fear would be like, if you're supposed to be fashionable but you're wearing something from like 10 years ago, is that actually
well,
like,
people
not
do
cool.
that.
But you're right.
They
I think
they wear vintage.
It's cool.
Like Kim K wore that, like Marilyn Monroe. Like people will go on the red carpet and be like, this is vintage Dior. And they're kind of saying it, but I'm like, it's like, still it's Dior strong. And like from a museum. I'm thinking like, how about like a stylist works really hard to go, like, and you know, you have all this time and you pull together this thing. And it would also, I think, make people judge it less harsh.
Yeah. And there, and like definitely it would could highlight how there's also different, there's a perception that secondhand has to be like tattered or old or worn.
Yeah, no, I don't.
Where it's like there is also secondhand for these high brands. Yeah. Like that is expensive. Like I think, not that I think that's cool, but I think for celebrities and people who like fashion, like the idea of secondhand to them is like, oh, I don't want a $10 shirt. I want to spend my money on a brand.
I went to that store in LA, The Real Real, which is like the version of that. And it was so funny. It was like actually insane. It was so expensive. Because they're like, you're buying Brad Pitt's shorts that he threw or whatever. And you're kind of like, okay, like there people are
we
doing
dumpster dived Brad's
yeah,
pits.
Honestly.
Okay. This has been a really long intro. So let's take a little break and then we'll come back.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. People don't always realize that physical symptoms like headaches, teeth grinding even, which I do, even digestive issues can be indicators of stress. And let's not forget about doom scrolling. Sleeping too little, sleeping too much, which actually for me is like now, undereating or overeating. Stress shows up in all kinds of ways, and in a world that's telling you to do more, sleep less, and grind all the time. Hustle harder, hustle culture. Here is your reminder to take care of yourself, do less, and maybe try some therapy. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy. Give it a try and see if online therapy can help lower your stress. Side note is sponsored by BetterHelp, and listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/sidenote. That's betterhelp.com/sidenote.
Study time.
Whew. It's hot in here.
It's so hot.
That's song. It's getting hot in here.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what are all the hot songs?
My dad's favorite song from 2005 or whatever.
Like, actually.
He would sing it all the time. That song was good.
It's getting hot in here, so take off.
I was not like
clothes.
Into music then, so I feel like I didn't appreciate it. Isn't that such a weird thing? There was like a time in my life when I just like didn't really listen to music.
I know, because you were a musician. Don't.
Yeah, I would listen to music, but not. I was not that engaged with like pop culture at that time.
Yeah,
pre you, you like entered me into the pop. Like I didn't watch music videos. I didn't watch. Like I just didn't really engage with like music. I would obviously hear it all the time, but anyway.
No, you're
interesting
still,
little fact about
you're
me.
Still like that.
Anyway, speaking of heat waves, I think what obviously has brought this on this conversation is actually this little thing called climate change and the fact that the world feels like it's on fire. But in particular, like the UK recently on July 19th hit its hottest day ever recorded.
Yeah.
Temperatures were above 40 degrees Celsius. I think it's interesting and worth talking about how some people were like from countries or places even like here where it's like we've had a hotter weather, but so much of the UK is not built or designed for this type of
or like that tweet that was like, UK, you're fine. Your ancestors colonized countries in this heat.
Yeah, like you were able to colonize. But being like none of their homes are designed for this. Their stores.
Yeah.
Like they don't have as much like AC, so like it is more dangerous for people.
And it is important for these Western countries like ourselves to feel the impacts of climate change. And I think
it's
a bit of that. Like the news, the Western news source is going to be focusing on the specific countries, including Europe. So the issues that Europe is going to face from climate change are going to be a lot different than other parts of the world where we're not getting media input. And it's going to be heat waves. It's going to be what happens in the summer.
It's interesting because whether or not like, say, places like Canada, America, Australia are more equipped for like extreme heat, the sad reality is that we're going to care more about the UK suffering and going like it will be in our news more when they are not able to
like the Guardian
compared to like Asia
like
or
Sri
Africa
Lanka
or anywhere where it's like this has been happening for so long that they've had these insane heat waves where people are dying, whereas when it's in the UK we're like, oh my gosh, we're hearing about it all day for a week, you know,
in general.
And we know people who are like putting it on their stories that are there that are like, it's so freaking
hot. In general, people from the West are literally dumb. Like we don't have the ability to like understand or empathize properly with the world.
Yeah.
Unless we're like, oh my God, the Queen's hot. And it's like sad.
Like we see like a drip of sweat and a picture on the Queen and we're like, oh my God, climate change is real.
The crumpets are going to melt. But it's sad and true that like Europe, but Europe's in a particularly fascinating like situation in that it is bad. Like it is going to like, many people have already died and are going to continue to die. And I think that that still matters. And I think there is something interesting about their lack of ability to deal with it. Like, mm-hmm. it's like there are other parts of the world that have just like more experience with extreme heat. That doesn't mean it's like people aren't going to die, but
they probably have more also strategies, even as a family or as individuals, to avoid the heat. Even thinking of places that naturally, like when we were like visiting Morocco or even Spain, it's like they have these siesta times or times when things shut down, because their culture is built around realizing those times a day, like don't be out and about, just chill, don't move, be in the shade.
That's true, like the cultural impacts. Okay, well that's like one of my studies is kind of about that, but a little bit like also like hashtag capitalism, which we hate on this podcast. Kidding. Like, obviously, that's a nuanced take, blah, 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 hot take, capitalism, blah, we're all part of it. But in Europe, so there were extreme temperatures in 2003, 2010, 2015, 2018. So actually, maybe I'll go back to one thing before this, which is that excessive prolonged heat is called a heat wave. Like, there's different ways that scientists define it. Okay. A lot of it is about the length of time that a temperature stays a certain height.
Okay. Like, versus height, just height hitting it for like one day, a few hours or something.
So they can sort of be defined like in intensity. So that could maybe be like the one day in London that it goes to 45, but then the next day it's like more back down to more quote unquote normal. Sometimes that's like, we'll make the news, but they won't call it a heat wave.
Okay.
So like a heat wave, usually it's when the temperatures are high enough for long enough that it affects and like causes death. There's issues with agriculture, wildfire frequency, and workplace productivity, and public infrastructure stops working. Like, they have sort of like,
but is that, I guess what kind of confused me about that is, like, obviously, sometimes we're warned ahead of time that a heat wave is coming. So obviously, there's like a way to look at it retroactively, but also a way to anticipate whether we're expecting, like, maybe the anticipation is just about how hot it's going to be. Know that today it's going to be really hot outside. Don't leave your dog outside. Don't stay outside or stay in the car for too long without like the air on.
Yeah.
But then maybe there's this like way to historically classify this was a heat wave because for a week it was this hot.
Yeah, well, no, what I'm more saying is like you will find different definitions of heat waves depending on like which
the kind of
field of study, article, country you're reading about, but they all have to reach a specific sort of benchmark about like length of time and impact that it has on the place, which might actually be interesting for some place like Europe, which might have like way more negative impacts due to the infrastructure of their city, as opposed to another city that's more set up for heat, is like kind of what I was like picking.
Got
up. And I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
A heat wave.
It's not like a one term definition.
Yeah.
Different studies or different governments probably use that metric differently.
Yeah. And so like this study, for example.
Yeah. Cause I guess if you're like in a country that's way hotter on average, you're not going to call it a heat wave.
Exactly. Exactly. Like it's like, relative. That would be a heat wave for sure if it was like India's in Toronto in like October. Like it'd be like, that's a heat wave. Yeah, exactly. Right. So this study found that from the 1950s, when they started to have reliable data, that heat waves
data, okay, your own character,
increased in intensity and amount everywhere on Earth.
Say one more time for me, sorry.
Like since the 1950s is when they can start to
like analyze,
really analyze properly, that heat waves have increased in length and intensity everywhere on Earth. Nowhere on Earth has anything ever gotten like colder. And then most of these heat waves have had this drastic spike when you look on the graph since the year 2000. So it's like climate change is causing these heat waves. And they think that obviously increase in hurricanes, increase in tornadoes, all these extreme weather events are caused by climate change, but heat waves are some of the easiest ones to directly link to climate change for the sort of argument that sadly some people still need to hear, that this is caused by CO2 emissions and global warming. So
it's really crazy that this argument is still happening. You know, like the other day I was on Twitter and saw like the whole side of Twitter that literally denies that this is real. That's just like, this is just that there's been this temperature and this date before. Blah, 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 blah. You're just like, okay, like, who do you need to hear this from?
I know. And it's like, there hasn't.
And literally, like, read a single meta-analysis that's legitimized by the majority of the scientific
community. And it's like, it's all about statistics and graphs. It's like, sure, pull your one day in 1850 that was really hot. That's mm-hmm. fine. But, like, look at the graphs of every single year. Mm-hmm. That's the hard part. But I do think there is a part of people not, like, of course, people don't want to think this.
Well, it's unfortunate that it honestly has become so politicized in a place like America, especially, that it becomes that like identity for some people, that they think the other side is lying or over exaggerating. Yeah. And then when you live in your own bubble, it's hard. Like, of course, there's probably things that we think and read about that are part of our bubble and part of our identity. But this is one where I'm like, no, but this is like, we've known for so long and it's getting worse. And like, even anecdotally on my own personal experience, like I can see the change in my own short life. Well, maybe not such short life anymore. It's been a long time. I'm pretty old.
No, but I'm like, I don't remember everything on fire when I was 15.
Yeah, like every summer being like, I guess we can't breathe today.
Yeah, and also...
like last summer.
Last summer was wild. That's so true. Because they're going to come. They're going to come in Canada. I also, like, the wildfires thing is, like, so real to me as... someone who's not that old, right? Like, imagine you were even 50 or 60. You'd be like, there weren't like this concept of every summer LA just is like, on fire. Like every summer, our winter Australia is on fire. And I kind of think like when everyone's thinking about Europe and going to Europe, like I have been like, I'm not going to Europe in July and August. Like I've actually thought about that in the last few years because I'm like, all I've ever heard for the last probably 6 or 7 years is that people just like die and there's like no air conditioning and people.
You mean like tourists and stuff or just people in general?
No, sorry. It's like it like, happened in Montreal. It's like so hot. So many like people with comorbidities and older people die. But my point is like, that doesn't mean that like my vacation, quote unquote, in Italy isn't going to be like relentlessly hot.
Right.
That it's kind of interesting because I think of going to Europe and I take July and August out of my head because I'm like that's going to be so hell. Hot.
You're just having to walk outside all day in the heat.
Yeah. And they don't have like in, for example, similar, Toronto, this gorgeous lake nearby where you can like escape it. There's lots of like, I know they're not set up to deal with it. So like you might even go to like some nice hotel and they'd be like, well, we don't have air conditioning or whatever. And it's like, that is a thought I never had when I was younger. It wasn't like I would just go to Europe anytime in the summer and not think about that. But now I'm like, Portugal's on fire. Like, I didn't even know Portugal could be on fire.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think everything can technically be on fire.
I know, and I just like, I don't know.
That's
just
what we all need to learn, is that most things are flammable if it get hot enough.
Yeah, especially dry forests of non-biodiverse forests like in Portugal.
Yeah, I guess even last year here in the US and Canada, 1,500 people died in the heat wave. Like there was like a big,
oh my god, the one in BC. Yeah.
And it was a massive die-off of sea creatures off the coast as well as horrific wildfires.
And it's just like, it happened last year, it comes, it goes, and then you're just like, okay, and now here we're back this year. And it's like,
because humans like don't have the capacity or something. It's like too long term, or I don't know, like, are we capable of actually realizing, obviously we are. Obviously, there's so many research studies and scientists who are like, we can conglomerate 100 years of data or even like thousands of years of rough data and see like these different trends.
Well, it's part of the argument, like, why I'm like staring at our bookshelf of all of the like the world's ending scary climate change books that like I've read. And it's like, okay, like, we need a different approach. And like, we're not like right now, we maybe need to get into like start talking about things we can do, because I think it is like, I think it's bad to focus on the like small group of people who are still trying to deny this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like, okay, it's happening.
Most, let's, at least in Canada, I've seen like the vast majority of people support climate action and like understand what's
so close to
happening.
America,
of course, it gets tough when people are like, well, what is the right way to be responsible about this? How do we put taxes on things? How do we change the way our country functions? Like, those are really hard questions when like trying to make sure that people are still like not being left behind, because who's going to who has to suffer the most for this change? How do we make sure it's the people who can take on that financial burden and not the people who are like already suffering to go week to week? But it is... like, it just feels like, at least, the positive side, I think the majority of people are awake to this and want to see something done, but don't know what should be done.
Yeah.
And it's almost impossible for the most average people to like change their lives.
So one thing I was thinking about like, with like quote unquote the other side was this study that, to go back to what I was saying, was like they looked at 2003, 2010, 2015, and 2018 in Europe, because that's when there was the most extreme amount of heat waves. Again, going back, it doesn't mean those other years wasn't super hot, but like the longest period of these high temperatures that stayed for long enough that like infrastructure suffered and people died. And they found that the GDP in Europe fell in those years by 0.3 to 0.5%. And they think it's from the inability of people to, unable to work.
Oh, like physical exhaustion?
So they're like biophysical and cognitive impacts of the heat. The physiological strain on workers, so people who worked outside, like infrastructure couldn't be built in the same way. The number of hours of people working, decision making goes down, and essentially people just like realize in that day they just have to survive, not work. I'm like, that's an interesting one for some of the like capitalists out there. It's like,
yeah.
And then they predicted that by 2060 it could fall, like Europe could have serious like GDP issues
just because of heat problems alone.
So it's like that. Sometimes I'm like, that's an argument that I haven't like always thought about when I think about the like people who are obsessed with money and work and like think the Green New Deal is like gonna, I don't know,
it's just like people one lose of money those, or something. Yeah, it's like sucks to have to be like, well, capitalism causes problem, but we like in this scenario are trying to use capitalism to get out of
yeah.
it. At least be like, you're gonna, but I do feel like we've been saying like the thing that makes me cynical is like we say this about education and healthcare and we're like, when you put money in, you get more out, actually. Like if you do things preventatively, you get more out. My hope is like, I don't know. Like, it's just my fear is that we can say these things, but it's hard because there's an upfront cost.
Yeah.
Like, all these losses are on the back end that are people feel are never guaranteed, right?
Well, Katie Mack said something, like, so interesting in a tweet. It went really viral recently, and it was just, like, we've been lied to about the future that it's, like...
Like, future
this,
cities.
This future, like, Elon Musk, like, tube, like, weird like
flying cars. Tube,
flying or, cars. Yeah. She's, like, all it is light rail transit, dense, well, like made apartment buildings and shady neighborhoods. It's like, it's so,
that's the future. Like of
it's
city.
So, it's so true. It's so important that people understand that. Like even when you think about Toronto, like one of the studies I read was just about like heat domes within the city. And it's just like these affluent neighborhoods where they have these big lawns and these trees deal so much better with heat waves because it's truly about the trees in the shade. Mm-hmm. Like we live in this gorgeous part of the world where if this was, if all of these buildings were gone, it would be overrun with trees and water and it'd be a really great place to be in a heat wave. Mm-hmm. Bringing more of that back, like parks, like truly trees on your street are
literally
huge,
provide shade. Yeah.
Like helpful things
cool
for heat
the whole
wave.
City down. Yeah.
And it's simple and it's like, no one's going to argue if you just
and
plant.
Beautiful. And it's like, how many studies do we need to talk about that show when you're near nature, you're like happier.
Yeah.
Your health outcomes are so much higher. Your like rates of anxiety and depression are lower. Like just by being able to see nature.
And know what's super sad is that they like Toronto messed up the water line, they said, because by building all those condos like to try and get the lake view, it just blocks all the cool air that would have completely
just, like,
cooled
the city.
So they're like, there's these design flaws that we like, not to fault necessarily designers because people didn't think about heat waves when they were building them like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But now it's like we need to rethink everything because it's only going to get hotter. Even in a place like Toronto where we're so lucky and it's like frozen half the year, there are
extreme heat here. Like it is so funny when I talk to Americans, like the amount of times they lean into jokes that are like, in Canada must be freezing, and I'm like, actually it's hotter.
It's
right
so
now
hot.
Like where, oh, when we were in LA, it was like, it is just as hot in Canada. Like, but people from LA will be like, oh my god, you must be excited to go back to Canada where it's an igloo, and you're like, no, it's actually hotter.
Yeah,
right,
it's
now.
So funny how often you have to have like the talking to Americans like Rick Mercer thing happens,
like,
when you're
you don't
you're,
know.
They're like, oh, you probably want to get out of this heat when you get home. I'm like, no, it's called humid. Like I'm always like, you heard in New York, and they're like, yeah, New York summer. I'm like, it's that. like it's so weird. I'm like,
it's literally 40 degrees
right
but wet
New York.
Your sweat can evaporate.
Yeah. And I'm like, you know, New York, like picture that city, same concept, just a little bit colder and maybe even a little bit hotter.
That is one thing that it is like, I don't think that like Well, I don't know enough like Europeans to know, but I just feel like it's mostly an American experience I have. Like a lot of Americans don't really know a lot about outside of their country.
And they maybe hear more about Canada, like being like, oh, the snowstorm and like...
Yeah, in the Winnipeg winter, it's crazy. Something. And there are parts of Canada that remain relatively cool. Like if you're like in the Arctic, obviously it's not getting like hot.
Well, like it is kind of hot right now. It still is. That's why it's scary.
It's not like Toronto and Southern Ontario gets like very hot in the summer.
Okay, no, it's super scary. Like, they were, everyone, all the scientists are focused on the Arctic right now. Then, this is so doomsday, and I'm like, we need to figure out solutions. But, and then they're like, let's check in on Antarctica. Okay, like, obviously, it's not how it went. They weren't like ignoring Antarctica, but Antarctica right now in their winter is so hot. Oh, shoot. So, it's like, little obviously, penguins. Yeah. So, it's supposed to be minus 45 degrees
right now,
and it's minus 10 degrees. Yeah. So, it's like, they're kind of like, oh my God, like they're obviously freaking out about the Arctic because it's the Arctic is super hot right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like it's not frozen even in the winter.
As much
but it is like be. They think it's an El Nino event, but it was an El Nino event last year. And they're just like, we didn't think it was going to happen again. And it's just one of those things that's like.
So it's like now that we're learning Spanish, it's like El Nino. Girl. But wouldn't it be La Nina?
Oh, sorry. Then maybe it's El Nino. El Nino. Oh, wait. Is it La Nina then?
No, I would mean like, I think it is El Nino.
Okay, we're correcting but then I'm like, scientists with our Spanish.
No, like El Nino.
Isn't El Nino so weird? So it's called the boy event? Like, I always just like thought it was
El
like,
Nino is a climate pattern that describes the unusual warming of surface water. So El Nino, the boy.
Okay. So then I just, maybe it was my Duolingo that made me think it was called an El Nino event or a La Nina event.
Maybe.
But yeah, like I think it's one of those.
The cool phase. Oh, La Nina in Spanish. Wait, what is it? Oh, no, the cool phase. Oh, so El Nino is warm. La Nina.
Know what we need more La Ninas.
like literally. La Nina. That's the solution to and most like, answers in life. More La Nina, yeah, less El Ninos. Yeah, we need
less boys in charge and more women in charge. So this is the thing. It's like when I think about like politics, I'm just like. It's so, it's like we need truly light rail transit and like we need there, infrastructure.
Something
like,
has to happen.
Who are the politicians?
Okay? So people have definitely more and more, and I hope this is reversible and hopefully like, you know, life goes in a wavelength and so does politics. But certainly what I see all around the world, like from my vantage point right now, is a loss of faith in politics to solve problems.
Yeah.
And so whether that means politics, like obviously this is like things go in waves and there's been revolutions over politics in many different countries. So things have gotten bad and gotten better. But at some point that has to happen. Like not no one, but people are disillusioned by politics, are checked out, are like all the politicians have this idea that they just like want to use it for their own benefit, aren't actually helping in that. There's lots of examples of that being true.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate whether it's like someone who's on like a conservative side of things or liberal or whatever. So I think that's like the hardest part. It's like, I obviously believe in government's ability on one level, but understand people's apathy towards that being a solution. Cause we've just seen over and over and over, like nothing really happened.
Well, okay. So then I was thinking like, are we always just focusing on the negative? Like, you know how there's that weird, cool thing being built over near us at like the Wallace Emerson. You're like, what is that? Is that like a rail path?
Sorry, what?
The rail path that you keep talking about that's like being built.
And oh yeah, I just learned about that today, what that is.
Yeah, so I'm like, there you go. Like, clearly the government has spent all this money because they're like, this is a really busy train intersection. So we're building this cool new, like, essential, like, again, light rail transit
to go. So I don't know if it's government. I mean, it's probably
no, it is. All those things are funded by the government. Yeah. To help with
transit between.
Are you kidding? The Up Express is
but
so
again,
cheap.
That is
not
like
making money.
Probably by necessity that they're like, our city's at. Like, Toronto's kind
no,
of
no, but stop. But like, this is the thing. Like, maybe those governments are like, we are investing in light rail transit. We need to remember that that's
time.
Really cool. Like, instead of being like, oh, it's out of necessity, which I know what you mean. It's like, there at least is this amazing train being built really close to our house in order to get people around Southern Ontario more efficiently while also moving goods around on trains. It's like, that is good to see.
Of course.
Like,
that's true.
And someone had to
like probably sign off on the billions of dollars that it was going to cost.
Yeah. And so it's like,
but at the same, I know I'm just being cynical because I'm at the same time, they're like maybe going to build a highway through wetlands.
But that's freaking know. You know what I mean? Like,
which
I
is
know.
A different government.
But are we focusing too much? I don't
on
know.
The negative. Yeah.
There's not an answer that I have right now, but are we really focused on the negative aspect of the buffoon of Doug Ford? And I am ashamed of our province deeply.
Okay, here's what needs
or
to happen.
Or is it like we should be
here's
just
the
like,
solution. You're right. Change. You're right.
Like, I don't
it's
know.
Like, there will always be people who will try to like do bad things or gain
exactly.
things.
Exactly. Like, am I focusing
we
too
just
much
need
on
to
that?
Be like, how do we all get involved in things that actually do push the needle forward or whatever the phrase is? Like,
yeah.
How do we help support
and, I'm just like,
and push for change in politics or even just like grassroots communities and groups and even just, I don't know, it's like, how do we become more engaged on that level to know like, okay, but this project is for good and we're helping to try to push it forward.
And even,
even if it's small and local.
Exactly. So I think that's also important, but I also think like shift, like shifting our minds to also like be appreciative of the things that are positive and helping like friends and family focus, like realize them so that we can A, do more things like it. And then B, also like give ourselves hope. Like, I'm thinking about the Bluer by Klain. Mm-hmm. Like I use that probably like 2 times a day, honestly, maybe even 3 times a day. Cause I go all over the city and
so
I use it.
So you're going somewhere, coming back and then going somewhere and never coming back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry. I mean, like 3, like 6 times total, but like that didn't exist 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just, I'm like, sometimes I'm like on it and I'm like,
I get scared. Cause I think some of these are still trial bike lanes and it's like, will they just
stop it? They're not. That's not, that's,
some of them are.
Mitch, that's not true. I'm literally like getting mad. I'm like, I'm trying to like, be like, this is not what I'm trying to say. The bike lane on Bloor is
it's
staying,
amazing. Yeah.
And so don't say that. It's, and I think like when I'm on it, I'm like, Greg, this, you have to be so appreciative mm-hmm. because this didn't exist. And someone,
years ago,
I didn't like, I didn't go to some council meeting to make this happen.
Yeah.
Someone on behalf of my life and our city decided this amazing bike lane and my life has
changed,
completely changed. Yeah. I do not drive in the city. This is like a main vein for me to get all over so safely, like 8 to 9 months of the year. Like that is so helpful. Without that bike lane, I would drive more. I would be, I mean, I probably actually would just be taking transit more, but still the, think of like the cost. I'm saving so much money, helping the environment. And it's like, I think there's a world where I could not appreciate the bike lane. Just because it's bike lane.
That got done. You're right.
That's or be like, there needs to be more bike lanes and that's, and that, which I obviously always argue about, but also stopping to be like, but this one exists.
And it came recently.
And it
and
came
that's
and
a great new change.
And
it's fair. It is important to stop and not always feel like everything's wrong and acknowledge like progress has happened and is.
Yeah.
I guess it's just the fear against the speed of these bad things happening. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I know like bike lanes aren't the solution, but they're definitely one of them. But when you just think of one, you're like, is that enough to combat this fucking crazy
As I was saying in that, like it was on a What Did We Learn This Week 3 weeks ago, but increasing 12 kilometers of bike lanes in European cities decreases CO2 emissions from those cities by 1.86%. Because the sheer amount of people who start to bike more.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's so simple.
It's so nice. And it's just like a great, I don't know. Biking is amazing. And I get, like, I've seen some people's comments that are like, obviously you can't like take a family around on a bike, but it's not like you have to like transit your kids around. Like, hey, I think accessible transit is even
more important
because people have families and kids and you're not like, there's not like a easy.
And I'm not saying that you take your family there. It's like, it's like, you're like, oh shoot, I need bananas.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's great to have the bike accessibility and transit accessibility.
And also so many people are, it makes me really appreciative of Toronto. Cause a lot of the comments on my videos where I talk about that, they're just like, I live in this American city where there's not even sidewalks.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
and it's like literally every single corner in Toronto is some kind of convenience store. Half of them have like vegetables, fruits, milk, cheese. Like we can go to a grocery store, but we basically almost never do. Like for a big grocery shop, but it's like I literally go one street over and get the veggies we need, get the fruits and stuff we need.
Yeah. So it's such an infrastructure issue. And so much of these heat waves are actually an infrastructure issue on how you deal with them, but also on why they're being created. Like it's why it's so, oh my God, it's so hard to not go dark. It's like, Democrat? Who's that evil Democrat?
I don't even bring them
up.
No, okay. I'm just going to mention the study that I found because it came out. Well, I did this research yesterday, so it came out yesterday. It's a brand new study.
Wow, okay.
And analyzing specifically the 2021 heat wave in North America and what caused it, and trying to like figure out. Ultimately, they were like analyzing these atmospheric circulation patterns. So there was like three major patterns in how they shifted, and they were trying to figure out like what caused this specific shift. What they did find in a scary way is like their simulations showed these extreme heat waves are likely to increase by more than 30 percentage points in the coming years. So terrifying. But at the end of the day, their study showed quantifiably that that heat wave was caused by greenhouse gases. Like it was directly linked to how those atmospheric bodies moved. Was because of greenhouse gases, and that ultimately led to that heat wave just because of the way like the one that was super hot moved up and the other one, like I don't know how to describe it because it was like showing all these graphs of like how they moved and the names of each heat system or each environmental atmospheric circulation, sorry, but they were just like, this, we can show that this was caused by greenhouse gas emissions, which is like, okay, we just need to remember like, I don't know. It's so hard.
I know. I love that. I was so excited. I was like, need to remember why.
Well, no, like that is important to keep on our mind, and we have to find ways
it's to always avoid is related to greenhouse gas emissions.
And I was going to say, no, like, it's fair. The hard part is like, you know, we have a house that has lights and that does have.
But solar panels.
Yeah, that's true. We have solar panels. But we're lucky to have that.
Yeah.
And like, I just we don't, mean,
yeah, that's so true.
That's why I think on a bigger infrastructure problem, it does come down to like, how do we get corporations and governments to help support infrastructure that is not using greenhouse gases?
Exactly. And that is why I'm so depressed about Doug Ford. And like, I hate that because even like thinking about our solar panels, like we did pay out of pocket and they literally said to us like, you just got to get rid of the conservative government. And then whatever government comes in, we'll be giving you subsidies and you'll get your money. Like you'll make your money back. And then it's like, we voted in Doug Ford and he actively wanted to get rid of the ability to use solar panels. So like, I think
there's still
greenhouse, like you're right. I get what you're kind of saying. Like it's greenhouse gas emissions, period. Like that's it. So think about that all the time in your lifestyle and like how, what that means for you, eating less meat
and how we vote and like who's going to do what. And yeah, like the voter apathy, the political apathy is the problem. Like
it is a problem.
This election in Ontario where we got Doug Ford was the lowest voter turnout ever. Because people are just like,
yeah,
I don't fucking know.
No, I know. And it's not to fault the other parties were very uninspired. Yeah, it was really that's part of it to watch. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it is when you realize that the like issue is so big that these setbacks, even in the States, like having the Trump presidency, like has set back America in like major ways. Yeah. Like even though it was only 4 years, we're seeing the repercussions of like him nominating these judges and what that's doing for women's reproductive rights and what that's doing for their climate
change. And it's so distracting.
Action,
you know? Like the whole Roe versus Wade is so distracting from climate change issues, which are like, would have been able to be, I think, very focused on different
Well, everything. Ways. It was like the pandemic distracted from it. And now that distracted from it. And it's like, of course, like the pandemic becomes the most important thing. And then of course, like women's reproductive rights and like your ability to like be married to a gay person or a person of a different race is like what's being debated now. It's like life, that should be on the forefront. Yeah. But it's just sad that climate change keeps getting like deferred. Like, well, we'll kick that one down and we'll do that one later because we don't have the mental capacity for all of it. So I think though, at least I do believe more and more people are like aware and care. And it's just a matter of like turning that energy into real positive change,
which I think we
are seeing bit by bit.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about this more. We're probably going to read 1,000 books about like climate change in the next 4 weeks. So I think we'll have like different versions of this conversation over and over with lots of practical things we can do. And just like, we will never stop talking. Okay.
Peace.
Bye. He's gonna go jump in a lake because it's hot. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.